am Arabella. I'm a sex and love addict.
Arabella.
I'm very nervous. I forgot I was sharing, and I have. I'm just going to be very honest about it. I have a physical affliction. I'm going to steal some water off you, actually, because I forgot my water. I have a physical affliction, which is like really, really bad anxiety when I'm going to speak publicly, and I can actually attribute this to what I'm going to talk about today is 12 steps and the recovery and how I found recovery, right? And the fact that I only recovered in this program because I did it like my ass was on fire. And when I haven't done it like my ass is on fire, I don't recover and I relapse in this program. I work SLAA like I work AA. And it's the only way I see recovery. So I am not going to come to this from my victim mindset, which was my story. My story until I found recovery, and I really attached to it because it provided me with reasons for the way I was the way I was. The reasons I was acting out, why I was I was such a lost person when I came into SLAA. I was behaving in a way that I hated. I was in a 10-year relationship with someone who was horrible, vile, like really 95% of the time. And I was absolutely addicted to them. And I was also, when I got out of that relationship, which I just clearly really needed to do, I couldn't get out of that relationship. I was so addicted, even though I say I was forced to. I wasn't forced to have an abortion. I had an abortion. I didn't want to not have that baby, but I chose to do that in the end. And that was within that relationship. But after I managed to kind of like claw my way out of that relationship, like kind of claw myself out of a like sinkhole or whatever you call it, I grabbed onto having an affair with a married man, sleeping with my best friend's ex-boyfriend. And there's always something else I forget. I remember going into therapy, my sister said, "You need therapy." And I was like, I went in and I was like, this is the kind of person I am. I have affairs, I abort babies I want, I am a disgusting person, I hate myself. And it still took like 3 years of therapy for me to gently find my way to SLAA. But I've been having panic attacks since I was assaulted, to the day. When I was 15, I remember when I was 14 at school, I was Eliza Doolittle in the school play. And I loved it. I'd never had any training in singing or anything like that, but I could sing, and I was like, I'm Eliza Doolittle, and I was on the stage, and I didn't have panic attacks. And when I was 15, I started having panic attacks. Now, I'm just telling you that because I'm here amongst people that I know, and I'm really freaked out about speaking. When you told me I had to speak, I was like, shit, I need to take beta blockers. I actually do need to medicate if I'm going to speak publicly. And that might be part of my disease. Right? That is part of my disease. My disease is not, I'm not a sex and love addict because of my parents. I don't think my upbringing helped, but I'm not, I used to come in and say, my mum's an alcoholic, my dad was a depressive and yada, 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 all these things happened to me. But I never said, when I'm happy, this is because my mum is really good at doing this. Mm. Or like, I have a really good work ethic because my mum has an amazing work ethic. Or I'm eloquent because my dad was really eloquent. So I'm putting that story aside. I'm not telling anyone else that they have to do that. But if I come from my victim story, I'm not going to get better. I come from, thank God. I'm a product of recovery now. And I've been in this program for 6 years in May. And I think it's nearly May. And I've been in the beverage program, the fellowship in AA for 4 years. It'll be 5 years in November. I couldn't get sober in SLAA whilst I was still drinking. And life was absolutely horrible. So I was in this relationship with this guy to qualify for 10 years. And he was everything I wanted. He was escape from my family. He was intellectual. he was as mean to me as I was to myself, so I really like related to him. I believed everything he said. 5 minutes, thank you. He's not part of my story anymore. I don't think about him anymore. I'm looking at these bricks in the wall, he's not a brick in the wall anymore. Whereas he used to be the entire wall. But then I was so dysfunctional when it came to sex and love. Like, I was constantly dating, and then as soon as someone liked me, I'd always get them in the position of them liking me, and then I'd be like, right, now I'm going to be made the decision as to whether I like you and I want to stay with you. And it's always a no, especially if you like me and you're healthy. That's absolutely out of the question, because that's too scary. So I just hurt people, came into SLAA, did the HOW program in London, crawled into the Soho Recovery Centre on a Sunday. I crawled in a few times. The first time I crawled in, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then 3 months later, I crawled in again, having relapse. And then everyone went, now you seem broken enough to actually do something about this. And I worked the HOW program like my ass was on fire. And I... what did I do? I went to a meeting in person every day in London. Like, there was no option for me not to work this. Like, I did 3 outreach calls a day, 1 in the morning, 1 at lunch, 1 at night. I went to an in-person meeting every day. I did all of the reading I had to do. In the HOW program, it's very structured. I have to answer a question every day. I have to write it out with my hand. I have to read it to my sponsor. If I don't do it, I will be dumped and I need to find a new sponsor. And then there's no fannying around with, you know, be kind to yourself, bit of self-love. It was just like, do the fucking work. And I was willing to do the work because I was so destroyed. And honestly, like, long story short, since I started, my life is completely different. From beginning SLAA, it was a dark hole. Being in SLAA, it's been light. However, within my recovery, I have gone up and down entirely dependent on how much I'm working this program. Entirely. So when they say it works if you work it, it's not a thing, it's a truth. And I choose how much recovery I want. So there's like, the second I think, I remember talking to Rose once, her and I were having a lovely conversation, and I was like, I'm kind of sponsoring myself at the moment. I'll always love my qualifier. I'll always love him. It was years ago. And when I look back on that, I'm just like, you fucking idiot. And of course, I was cruising for a rock bottom again in this program, because the second I think I have got this, I have not got this. Because for me, my higher power is in the searching. I can't conceive God. I can't look at the sun without going blind. I can only see here, right? I'm so limited. I can't understand God. I used to not even be able to say it. I still struggle slightly with God. It makes me feel a bit nauseous. I call my higher power Maman, 2 minutes. I work this program like my ass is on fire, because thanks to God, I am in a loving, balanced relationship. And I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life. That is one, I'd say that's a few bricks in the wall, because I have stepchildren. And I never thought this was going to be possible. I have been given more than I ever dreamt of being able to have. I used to, like, you know, my devil in me will give me a panic attack when something good is going to happen, like I get the opportunity to share. That's how crossed my wires are. So I meditate every day. I pray every day. I don't do it in the same way as my partner. I do it in, you know, we can all meditate in different ways. In the big book, it says, Bill writes. So I write because I'm neurospicy and, you know, dyslexia, ADHD, I have all those things, right? And so for me, I've found a way that suits me. It helps me sometimes when I'm on a meeting to be doing something. You know, I don't find it easy to sit there and sit still because of the way that I'm wired. It doesn't mean I'm bad and it doesn't mean I'm wrong. It just means I've got to figure out a way that I do this. I'm bad at outreach because I'm notoriously avoidant. So I ask people to seek me out and I'll help them. And I'm just like, I'm too afraid to talk to people on the phone. But I do talk to I've got 2 sponsors and I talk to them both all the time. I have sponsees. Like, if you want recovery in this program, get the big book, make it your, like, read it again. The first time you read it, you won't get it. But read it again, get a sponsor and do the work, and then when you're past step five, do sponsor other people, because they will take you through this. But, and to end, there's a levity in recovery, despite feeling like shit, and despite being a victim of all these things, and despite all the horrible things that I've kind of dealt with in life, I can laugh in these rooms. Like, one of the great things about being in AA meetings is we laugh. Like, it's funny, because if it's not funny, it's a tragedy. So there's a levity in recovery that I hope you all find. And I think the percentage is not high, you know, people who find recovery. Like, my relationship is mine, and it's so perfect, and it's just one of the gifts I've been given. I also do top lines, and I'm going over a bit, but, like, I do my dancing, I do my French, I do my art, I do my work. I work it like my ass is on fire. Read the big book once, then read it again, and soon it will become, like, your mode, your design for living. There's not very much you can say in 10 minutes, but thank God I didn't have a panic attack.